get it, maestro.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Beacon Home Companion Unitarian Radio Show, a show that asks the question, why did the Unitarian Universalists cross the road? To which the congregation answered, to support the chicken in finding its own path. We got a great show for you this morning, much greater than that last joke, believe me. It's brought to you by the Worship Services Committee, the folks who make sure that there's someone up here speaking every Sunday and filling in the gaps between the music. Did I mention music? Well, that's a good thing, because we have the choir singing, and they're going to be singing a whole bunch today, so I won't have to talk so much. As always, we have our own Mr. Music up here, Mr. David Hamilton, playing the piano. We'll hear another episode of our adventure serial, The Chalice. The RE Spirit Play Kids are going to turn the tables on us this week, and our main feature is entitled It's a Wonderful Light. See, Sue, I did pronounce that T. So your mission today, should you choose to accept it, is to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Sing a song today that is perfect for this morning's theme of mission, and it's called Woyaya. Our next segment is going to be brought to you by the Religious Education Program, who are quietly making their way to the stage at this moment, I guess. I understand. You guys have rooms here that I have never even seen before. I was amazed that you have a green room over there. It's not really very green, but you get the metaphor. Anyway, most weeks, the RE kids sit here and they listen while someone else reads us all a story. But this week, they're going to do the storytelling for you. It's an original Beacon Unitarian story. It's called The Too Small Church, and the RE kids are going to be directed by Laura Redman. Laura Redman, everyone.
Okay, today we have Morgan and Charlotte reading the story for all ages, and they will share the reading. And one will read and one will turn pages, and then they'll switch roles. Now, at the beginning of the story, there's a lot of page turning. There's a lot of pictures at the front, but not so many in the middle. Just letting you know what to expect there. Okay, we will start with Morgan.
The Too Small Church, a story for all ages, written by Don Hoka, illustrated by Laura Redmond. Once upon a time, there was a too small church called Beacon. Beacon lived in a basement. Beacon loved to sing. Beacon loved to dance. Beacon loved to help people. Beacon wanted to let its light shine. Beacon liked to play with other churches. But sometimes this made Beacon feel sad and bad and mad. All the other churches were bigger than Beacon. All of the other churches were older than Beacon. All of the other churches had their own building. Sometimes Beacon thought, how can I let my light shine? Look at all these great churches, so much bigger, so much older, so much space. Who wants a church that lives in a basement? Who can see such a tiny light shining? I am a church too small. Sometimes, when Beacon was feeling really, really sad, its light hardly shone at all. One day, Beacon was feeling really, really sad and bad and mad, sitting all alone in the basement. Beacon didn't feel like singing. Beacon didn't feel like dancing. Beacon didn't feel like helping anyone. Beacon felt alone in the dark.
Actually, this is page 10.
Then a bright, bright light flashed in the basement. Beacon looked up. The bright, bright light was held by a child. Who are you? Beacon asked. I'm yours, said the child. I am the beacon of your hopes. I have no hopes, said Beacon. Why are you so sad? Asked the child. Because I am a church too small, said Beacon. Nobody can see my light. Do you think people can see my light? Asked the child. Oh, yes, said Beacon. Your light is very, very bright. This is your light, too, said the child. How can that be? Asked Beacon. You gave it to me to carry out into the world, said the child. How did I do that? Asked Beacon. When you sang, you lit the flame. Said the child. When you danced, the flame grew brighter. When you help people, it grew brighter still. But how did a beacon couldn't believe it? But how did I do that? How could a too small church shine so bright? Morgan Page. This is the fame. Flame of peace and love, said the child. Nothing burns brighter. Now take my hand. Beacon took the child's hand. They walked out of the basement, up the stairs, carrying their lights. Together, they walked out into the sunshine. And all their friends were there to meet them. "We saw your light," they said. "Let's sing. Let's dance. Let's help people." Beacon, the child, and their friends did just that. And from that day on, Beacon knew there was no such thing as a too small church. The end.
The end. The end.
Well, my next cue was to make sure that you showed some appreciation for Laura and the kids, but you already did, but I think that was just swell. Now, we've come to the part in our show where we celebrate Beacon Community. Not that we haven't been celebrating Beacon Community before, but now you get to wear a metaphorical party hat. We are going to be doing some announcements. We're going to share our joys and our sorrows. We're going to light a few candles against the darkness. We have a number of announcements that have been sent in advance. Must be from all the shy folks in this congregation. Here's one from that wallflower, Ivy Hubbard, as a matter of fact. And she wants us to know that it's time to start thinking about who we want to share the plate with in 2012-2013. The board has suggested when you're thinking and making a consideration about a choice, that you think about our key principles. The key principles they'd like you to reflect on, especially this year, are respect for the interdependent web of all existence. There's more information in the March Beacon, or you can contact Ivy Hubbard, that shrinking violet, before the March 11th deadline. The three organizations will be presented at the AGM for our votes. Please, no automated phone calls the morning of the balloting. It just confuses people. Unitarian Family Camp at Lake Sassamat will take place the first week of June. This is a camp that offers boating and hiking and climbing and all sorts of good programming. Provides you an opportunity to get to know Unitarians from other Lower Mainland congregations. And now it is said that Napoleon said that an army marches on its stomach, but what happens at Lake Sassamat is we kind of run on soup. So what they're going to do is they're going to have a presentation at the next soup lunch on March 18th. To get you a little more familiarized with what happens at camp. There's registration forms, I'm told, at the greeters' table, and the early bird deadline is March 25th, and I believe you get a free worm with that one. So it's all free, folks. It's all free. No charge. Now, just in case there are any further announcements, like all good radio shows, we have a roving mic. If anybody has anything to add, an announcement that they would like to make, they should be, says Donna Hamilton, church-related, hopefully brief, and suitable for an intergenerational broadcast.
Hi, my name's Laura. I do the coffee. I'm going away for almost 6 weeks, and I've already spoken to most of the people who regularly buy coffee, but if anybody wants coffee, before I go, let me know today so I can order it and have it for next week. Is that clear?
No further announcements. Okay, we're going to move on to joys and sorrows. We invite you to come up to the front and light a candle to acknowledge joy or sorrow that you wish to share with the congregation.
I think I'll light a candle of sorrow for all the people in the states that are suffering from the storms. My sister and brother-in-law, they're down in Missouri, and they've been fortunate so far.
I'd like to welcome our Katimovic billet from Newmarket, Ontario. He'll be with us for about a week.
My grandma went into the hospital on Tuesday. Greg is sick, and I hope he'll feel better soon. Greg's my little grandson.
Donna will now light a last candle for all those joys and sorrows that remain unexpressed today. Adventure cereal! Faster than a speeding humanist! Faster than that. More powerful than a Prius with a fully charged battery! Able to leap tall assumptions with a single bound of logic!
Look up in the sky.
It's a bird. No, it's a plane.
It's obviously a metaphor for some flying object which should not be taken literally.
No, it's our own very Unitarian superhero, that chalice. Is pitted against a blindingly fiendish villain in Mission Impossible. In a dark, dank, lightless tunnel, three Unitarian agents are on a secret mission. They are Agent Dignity, Agent Interconnected Web. You have a line there, you know.
Oh, my friends call me Wed.
And Agent of Social Justice.
Friends call me So Just.
They are making their way through the gloom by the light of reason when suddenly... Interconnected web called the Obscurimator.
But you seem to have lost your way. Is there anything I can do to help?
Yes, you can tell us what our mission is.
We're having trouble seeing clearly right now.
And would you happen to have any pizza on you? Hey, Unitarians do not live by bread alone.
Let me handle this. All right, fiend. Stop clouding these agents' vision of purpose.
Never.
Then prepare to face the logical consequences.
The chalice reaches for the most powerful tool in his Unitarian Principles utility belt, and
prepare to be embraced by the chalice of compassion. You'll just leave you to reflect on that. You're free, fellow Unitarians.
Free? We still can't see anything.
Yeah, and we still don't know what our mission is.
Silly Unitarians, how can you see where you're going if you hide your light under a bushel?
No secret.
We just have to keep the light shining.
Oh, Chalice, how can we ever thank you enough?
No need to thank me. It's all in a day's work. For the Chalice, carry the flame.
Yes, join us next time as the Chalice continues his responsible individual quest for truth, justice, and a walk-in burn unit. Association. These are the folks who run the facility at Crest. It's a 10-bed unit, and they help clients who are in psychiatric crisis. They also help to enhance the quality of life for these people who are in need. Sherry Plank is a Beacon tradition, which was instigated by Rev Ed and Joe Morris, and we should recognize them today for their vision. While the function is being taken, we will listen.
Thank you very much. Now, if this was a regular service, you'd be settling in for a sermon right about now, but this isn't a regular service. So we're just going to keep the show going. And one reason why we're going to keep the show going, it's really hard to write a UU sermon. There is so much ground to cover, and there are so many potential landmines. It gets to a point where you're afraid of saying anything for fear of offending somebody. Now, this makes Unitarians the butt of a lot of jokes. Many of them are written by Unitarian Universalists themselves. Like the one about the tourist who couldn't find the local Unitarian church. After looking in the center of town, then looking out in the suburbs, then finally out into the surrounding countryside, the discouraged traveler finally saw a farmer, a man who by definition was outstanding in his field. It's all free, folks. And he asked, "Am I too far out for the UU church?" Don't get ahead of me. The farmer replied, "Nobody's too far out for that church." Well, we are a pretty far out bunch. What with Wiccans and humanists and spiritualists and shamans and pretty much everything in between in our congregations, other folks look at us, other religious communities say, "Do those people believe in anything?" And we're also so busy. We're constantly running around, treading water, just trying to keep the business of the congregation going from one week to the next. Sometimes in the life of a congregation, it may seem that this is all that we do. Same old thing, week after week, barely keeping things afloat, and there's no tropical paradise, no cruise ship, heck, not even a rowboat on the horizon. Well, we all feel that way sometimes. And that's why our main feature today is designed to buoy the spirits. So grab a life jacket, sit back, enjoy, for our main feature is entitled, "It's a Wonderful Light." Well, you don't know about music, but it's Christmas Eve in your uniform. It's a quiet little town, nothing real special about it. Not like that giant goose they have in Wawa, Saskatchewan, or Dave's Goat Walk Overpass in Armstrong, B.C. No, it's a more modest kind of community. Not flashy, but folks take care of each other, which, as you know, is a time-consuming task. Not to mention a little stressful, especially around Christmas time.
Deck the halls! I'll show you how to deck the halls in a minute, buddy!
That's Beacon Betty. She's the heart and soul of the local Unitarian Universalist Church. The flame of compassion and respect burns brightly within her, and it has for years. Isn't a single person in UU Falls that Beacon Betty hasn't helped one way or another. There's nothing wrong with her heart. It's her digestive tract. Because this Yuletide, she's finding Christmas a little hard to stomach.
You know what Christmas gave to me? 12 committee meetings, 11 congregants griping, 10 red ink budgets.
We get the picture there.
And there's no Christmas spirit in me.
You see, metaphorically speaking, Betty is at the deathbed of Oscar Wilde. That is to say, her wit's end.
And I'm in no mood for puns.
Which just shows you how desperate she is. So desperate and so fed up that she can't see the forest for the trees.
And I hate metaphors, too. Oh, I am sorry. Oh, listen to me yelling at the announcer. Oh, maybe it would have been better if I'd never been born.
Even though Betty doesn't like metaphors, she has just invited one into her life. Strange things happen at Christmas. But why, no, the humanists are all worried now. They're fretting that we're going to get all religious on them. Don't worry, the only time you'll hear Jesus Christ in a Unitarian church is when somebody falls down the stairs and bangs their shins. No, this is one of those rhetorical metaphors without specific religious affiliation.
It's also known as a plot device, and Betty could use one right about now because...
I'm going to lay me down on these railroad tracks and wait for a train to send me to my maker. Or to my non-personalized, gender-neutral superior being, who may or may not have been present at my creation. Or something like that.
So Beacon Betty laid herself down on the railway tracks and waited for the train to come and end her suffering on this plane of existence.
Oh, it'll be worth it just to miss those cursed visioning seminars.
But just as the train was about to unite Beacon Betty with Oscar Wilde, in the metaphorical sense, folks, a strange figure appeared by her side and rolled her off the tracks.
Oh, no, you won't.
Why, who do you think you are?
Me? My name's Terrence. I'm a humanist.
Aren't those angel wings on your head?
Yes, they are, and no. The dramatic irony is not lost for me.
Then how did you get them?
Turns out there really is a superior being of some kind, and she has a wicked sense of humor.
They're lovely beings.
No, they're not. They're hideous. I'm the laughing stock of my humanist group.
Can't you get rid of them?
Only if I can find a Unitarian who has lost her way and guide her back to the light.
Hang on. Are you saying that this superior being has sent you down here to save me? Just like in my favorite Christmas movie.
You mean coincidence on 34th Street?
Oh, no, well, not that one. Say, if you're an angel or not, why aren't you in some sort of metaphorical heaven?
Oh, they don't let Unitarians into heaven.
Well, why not?
Because we don't believe in gated communities. I don't like heaven. No one ever argues. What kind of place is that for Unitarian humans?
I see your point. Well, thanks anyway, Terrence, but I have to find another train somewhere.
What? Aren't you going to help me lose with your rings?
Well, what did you have in mind?
I'm keeping with a metaphor. I thought I'd take you around town, show you what UU Falls would be like if you'd never been born.
Probably happier and with a lot fewer committee meetings.
Or you'd be surprised. Come on. Here we are at the town limits.
This isn't UU Falls. The sign reads, "Welcome to KMAville." Hey, doesn't KMA
so you
stand
don't like metaphors, but you understand acronyms? Yes, that's what it means.
But that's so disrespectful.
But you weren't there to set an example. Betty, come on. Let's walk down Main Street.
Oh, this can't be Main Street. There are hundreds of people begging for change. Most of them look like they're starving.
That's because the food bank closed, Betty. You weren't there to partner with them all those years and feed all these people.
I don't believe you. You're crazy.
Betty, wait.
But the distraught Beacon Betty bolted down the main street and blindly dashed into an alley where she came face to face with... Disrespectful youths who were not only smoking cigarettes, but spray painting anti-Unitarian graffiti on the walls.
What have you written? Unitarians try to die on the second Thursday of the month because that's when the recycling goes out. That's not very enlightened.
What's it you do, Gooder?
What to say? Gracious, you have big holes in your chests where your hearts ought to be.
So what? Who needs hearts anyway?
Leave her alone, grasshopper!
Who's gonna make it?
Me! I'm packing a pair of wings here and I ain't afraid to use them!
Don't get in a flap, Birdman. Leave it. Come on, tell them.
kids who never had a chance to take religious education from you, Betty. They never learned about UU principles.
They have big holes in their chests.
They're missing their ethical core. Now, let me show you around the downtown core.
Well, this looks kind of familiar, but what are those narrow little shacks doing on every corner?
Oh, those aren't shacks. They're closets.
Closets?
Yes, it's another metaphor. And it takes about 300 unionized workers to build just one of these closets.
300? Why so many?
Well, because it's a heavily labored metaphor.
But what are they doing here?
People live in them, Betty.
But why?
Because you weren't there to organize the first welcoming congregation in B.C. And without your leadership and example, all the other UU congregations lost courage and never followed suit.
Oh, this is terrible. Can't you show me anything good?
You're the one who said you wished you'd never been born.
Yeah, let's take me to another part of town now.
Okay, but you're not going to like it.
Through the magic of metaphor, not to mention reading, Beacon Betty was transported to another part of town.
Why? This used to be the music district. It's deserted, and the HMV store is boarded up.
Well, Betty, you see...
I know what's going on here. You're going to tell me that because I wasn't here to see and stage concerts and make music, the town that UU Falls now endures a silent spring. That the music has died.
No, actually, the HMV is closed because everyone downloads music digitally now. The metaphor is on the other side of the street.
Oh, you mean that boarded up video store?
You really aren't getting the hang of this metaphor thing, are you? The other corner.
It's a graveyard.
The graveyard of all the good things that died. Because you went there to give them life. See this headstone shaped like a water sign? Read the inscription.
Camp Sassamap, sunk without a trace. Oh, here's another one. To the memory of Kowatfalva. So long, partner. Oh, and there are dozens more.
Yes, these are the memories of the many social justice and environmental issues you championed. Like the forums on violence against women, social housing in the UU Falls area, and the Young Offenders Act.
Oh, Terrence, I'm so confused.
Don't worry. So is the congregation. One more stop.
Surrounded on all sides. Where are we?
Look up. Can you see the sky?
It's just a tiny little speck up there. Do you have a light on you, Terrence?
No, Betty, but you do. Within you. It's within all Unitarians. All you gotta do is let that light shine, and you'll see where you are.
Oh, I don't know if I can do it by myself, Terrence.
Then let's get some help. Hey, everyone! Anybody out there know this little light of mine?
Yeah.
Then let's sing it for Beacon Betty.
Thank you.
It's the one you left in the life of you falling and not being around.
Oh, I just never knew. Terrence, take me back to you falls the way it was, the way it should be.
You're not going to lay down on any railroad tracks anymore, are you?
Heck no. Got me a committee meeting and an interview this afternoon and a choir rehearsal to attend. Yeehaw!
McLuhan said, the medium is the message. Let us, instead of reflecting upon great authority, look to our own and reflect on sage words by our own Allegra Sloan, who, when asked what Beacon's mission was, replied, we do not have a mission. We are the mission. A mission to simply be what we have always been. Musical, a welcoming congregation, a loving congregation, a light in a dark world, an oasis in the desert, a flickering flame that, when it is passed on to enough people, creates a shining beacon. Thank you all very much. One last time, I would be remiss if I did not mention that that was It's a Wonderful Light, which starred Sue Sparling, Gary Aitken, and our Beacon Mag, the big hand for the ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, that's just about all we have time for. We have time for just a few thanks. I would like to thank Donna Hamilton, who is the real brains behind this show and keeps us all organized. The RE Kids, both the Spirit Play and the Magic, did a magnificent job. Eric Darling, Seuss Carlin, Gary Ashraf. Special thanks to the London Bills for hosting the rehearsal. And, of course, the Beat Choir. Keep on shining, folks.
Written by who? Don Hunter. Go your ways, knowing not the answers to all things, yet seeking always the answer to one more thing than you know. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Let us join now for our meeting.
Thank you.